Chapter 38. Incredulity. Mrs. Quilp, who was the partner of young Trent, and for every look that passed between them, and every word they spoke, and every card they played, the dwarf had eyes and ears, not occupied alone with what was passing above the table, but with signals that might be exchanging beneath it, which he laid all kinds of traps to detect, besides often treading on his wife's toes to see whether she cried out or remained silent under the infliction, in which latter case it would have been quite clear that Trent had been treading on her toes before. Yet, in the most of all these distractions, the one eye was upon the old lady always, and if she so much as stealthily advanced a teaspoon towards a neighboring glass, which she often did, for the purpose of abstracting but one sup of its sweet contents, Quilp's hand would overset it in the very moment of her triumph, and Quilp's mocking voice implore her to regard her precious health. And in any one of these his many cares, from first to last, Quilp never flagged nor faltered. At length, when they had played a great many rubbers, and drawn pretty freely upon the case bottle, Mr. Quilp warned his lady to retire to rest, and that submissive wife complying, and being followed by her indignant mother, Mr. Swiveller fell asleep. The dwarf, beckoning his remaining companion to the other end of the room, held a short conference with him in whispers. It's as well not to say more than one can help before our worthy friend, apostrophe said Quilp, making a grimace towards the slumbering Dick. Is it a bargain between us, Fred? Shall he marry little Rosie Nell by and by? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have some end of your own to answer, of course, apostrophe returned the other. Of course I have, dear Fred, apostrophe said Quilp, grinning to think how little he suspected what the real end was. It's retaliation perhaps, perhaps whim. I have influence, Fred, to help or oppose. Which way shall I use it? There are a pair of scales, and it goes into one. Apostrophe, throw it into mine then, apostrophe said Trent. It's done, Fred, apostrophe rejoined Quilp, stretching out his clenched hand and opening it, as if he had let some weight fall out. It's in the scale from this time, and turns it, Fred. Mind that. Apostrophe, where have they gone? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Trent. Quilp shook his head, and said that point remained to be discovered, which it might be, easily. When it was, they would begin their preliminary advances. He would visit the old man, or even Richard Swiveller might visit him, and by affecting a deep concern in his behalf, and imploring him to settle in some worthy home, lead to the child's remembering him with gratitude and favor. Once impressed to this extent, it would be easy, he said, to win her in a year or two, for she supposed the old man to be poor, as it was a part of his jealous policy in common with many other misers, to feign to be so, to those about him. He has feigned it often enough to me, of late, apostrophe said Trent. Oh, and to me too, apostrophe replied the dwarf, which is more extraordinary, as I know how rich he really is. Apostrophe, I suppose you should, apostrophe said Trent. I think I should indeed, apostrophe rejoined the dwarf, and in that, at least, he spoke the truth. After a few more whispered words, they returned to the table, and the young man rousing Richard Swiveller informed him that he was waiting to depart. This was welcome news to Dick, who started up directly. After a few words of confidence in the result of their project had been exchanged, they bade the grinning Quilp good night. Quilp crept to the window as they passed in the street below, and listened. Trent was pronouncing an encomium upon his wife, and they were both wondering by what enchantment she had been brought to marry such a misshapen wretch as he. The dwarf, after watching their retreating shadows with a wider grin than his face had yet displayed, stole softly in the dark to bed. In this hatching of their scheme, neither Trent nor Quilp had had one thought about the happiness or misery of poor innocent Nell. It would have been strange if the careless profligate, who was the butt of both, had been harassed by any such consideration, for his high opinion of his own merits, and deserts rendered the project rather a laudable one than otherwise. And if he had been visited by so unwonted a guest as reflection, he would, being a brute only in the gratification of his appetites, have soothed his conscience with the plea that he did not mean to beat or kill his wife, and would therefore, after all said and done, be a very tolerable, average husband. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.